scripture this morning comes from Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Let us pray. Father, as we come to you to continue on in reading your parables, may we be a people who understand what the kingdom of God is. You have told this to your disciples, and you are still telling it to us, and we thank you. In Christ alone, amen. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of the great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Chapter 13 of Matthew, the great parabolic sermon. So far in this sermon, Jesus has shown us the kingdom of heaven, saying, first of all, that the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who went out to sow his seeds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and worked into 60 pounds of flour. In these passages, we see Jesus at work spreading the good seed of the message of the kingdom, sowing the good seed of his children throughout the world, patiently starting and watching over the small kingdom's expansion and bringing it to its glorious culmination in the new heaven and the new earth. In our passages before us this morning, Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Well, where is Jesus in these parables? The two parables teach us the same secret of the kingdom. We find Jesus located in the center of both stories. So let's go looking for Jesus. A man goes walking in a field that's not his own. As he walked the field, he finds a hidden, priceless treasure. From our previous parables, we know that the hidden kingdom of God hides in plain sight. However, those who have hardened their hearts toward God do not have the spiritual ears nor the spiritual eyes to see and hear the heavenly reality that is plainly before them, physically before them, in the presence of Jesus himself. Yet, they can find the hidden kingdom, all those who have spiritual ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see the kingdom of God. Our parables this morning show us how people who have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears can find the kingdom of God through different paths. Was the man walking in the field searching for treasure, or did he simply stumble upon the treasure? We can find hidden treasure in one of two ways. We can stumble across it, or we can go out looking for it. Jesus shows in this parable that whether you stumble into the kingdom or come into it through spiritual seeking, the important thing is this: that you enter into the kingdom. Some people are not looking to enter the kingdom of God. They're perfectly happy with their life the way it is. Unknowingly, they are merrily, contentedly walking the broad road to hell. Yet God, in His mercy, intervenes in their life. They hear the gospel story of Jesus, who died to save them from their sins, who rose again, assuring His and their victory over death and hell. They hear that Jesus ascended to heaven, where He is praying to God the Father specifically for them, so that they cannot fail to remain faithful and endure to the end. Because in the end, Jesus is coming back to this earth. Justice will be done. Jesus will restore Eden as a new heaven and a new earth. In that day, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, Jesus, King of Kings, will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to Him, and His resting place will be glorious. To their amazement, God opens their spiritual ears and eyes to a reality they had never perceived before. They wholeheartedly abandon themselves to Jesus and enter the kingdom of heaven. The man who finds the hidden treasure in the field may represent those who literally, by God's grace, stumble upon the kingdom of heaven when they were not looking for it. Also, this parable teaches us that people come into the kingdom when they're seeking for it. By His mercy, God is at work in their hearts, drawing them to Jesus. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They seek and they knock. God satisfies that hunger by opening to them faith in Jesus. Now, as disciples of Jesus, they are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The merchant looking for fine pearls may represent those persons who are spiritually seeking the kingdom. It's a miraculous find. Both people miraculously come into the kingdom of heaven. Their entry into the kingdom is miraculous because their entry resulted from God graciously drawing them to faith in Jesus. And thus, they gain entry into the kingdom of heaven, whether their path was a stumbling path or whether it was a seeking path. They came. There's a third way to come into the kingdom that these parables do not address, but I thought it was important to mention today. We might call this way the path of growing into the kingdom. Growing into the kingdom is important in the Reformed tradition and in other traditions that emphasize the participation of our children in the covenant promises of God. When raised and nurtured in faith from their infancy, people often grow into a realization that the faith of their parents and the faith of their church family is, in fact, their personal faith. They come to know deeply, personally, that they know and love Jesus and commit their entire lives to Him. This too is a miraculous entry into the kingdom of heaven. Growing into the kingdom happens over time because God works in our hearts and draws us to genuine love, faith, and obedience to Jesus. Whether we find our way to the kingdom by stumbling upon it, by seeking it, or by growing into it, the important thing is that we come. That we come into the kingdom of heaven. Everyone, by whatever means they come, who genuinely enter the kingdom of heaven shares at least three qualities with the two men who found the kingdom in these parables. The first, they know priceless when they see it. The second, they take action. They take action to get what is priceless. And they surrender all to gain what is priceless. I think the man who found the treasure in the field and the merchant who found the pearl of great value considered their finds to be priceless. Something that is priceless is a thing that is so rare, so expensive, so important that people can't express its true value in terms of money. How would you feel if unexpectedly you found something truly priceless? Would you be happy? Our parable tells us it was pure joy over their priceless finds that motivated these men to go sell all that they had. Pure joy. Joy in the New Testament is often a response to receiving salvation in Jesus. Joy comes when people experience God in their lives by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works joy into the lives of Jesus' followers in such a way that it enables them to endure trials and sufferings of the Christian life. Paul wrote that the message of salvation in Jesus came to the church, the believers in Thessalonica, quote, in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Paul also used joy as an indicator of spiritual progress when he wrote to the Philippians, quote, I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. For both the man in the field and the merchant, their delight, their joy over their newfound priceless treasure motivated each of them to take the action necessary to get that priceless treasure. It's easy to just jump from they go out and sell all they have to then they buy. But if we think about it, this took effort. Well, what would it take if you wanted to sell everything you had? Had a garage sale lately? Just do a garage sale. Isn't that a ton of work? But you want to sell everything you have. That's going to take some effort, and it's going to take some salesmanship, because you got to go out and create a market for your junk. stuff that nobody else wants, but yet you want to offload that. And you want to get everything you can for that. And so it's going to take effort. It's going to take some sales skill. It's going to take time. There's time involved there. But then, as you invest that effort and you invest that time, and now you have cash in hand. Cash in hand. Now the critical moment comes. Because you see, selling all is not yet giving all. You still got cash in hand. This is a crossroads that Henry Blackaby calls the crisis of belief. Will you take the cash in hand and give it all to gain that which is priceless? The crisis of belief is a turning point, a fork in the road that calls for a decision. You must decide what you believe about God. How you respond when you reach this turning point will determine whether or not you proceed with God in something only He can do, or whether you will continue on your own way and miss what God has purposed for you. That was a quote, by the way, from Henry Blackaby. Like the man in the field and the merchant, when we reach the crisis of belief, just before, by faith, we place all things in the hands of Jesus. Like these men, we must settle the questions. Do I settle for what I have? I could start over. Build a new life. Wouldn't that fulfill the implicit promise of the treasure anyway? Am I all in for priceless? Surrendering all to gain priceless. That's what these guys did. They made the choice. They went out, sold everything they had. With cash in hand, they crossed that crisis of belief and they gained priceless. Something that was priceless. So here's the secret of kingdom treasure. Jesus is the secret kingdom treasure. Jesus is the treasure hidden in the field. Jesus is the pearl of great value. Jesus is uniquely priceless. Give up everything to have Him. Jesus is uniquely priceless because Jesus gave up far more to gain you than you'll ever give up to gain Him. Jesus left His throne in glory to live in human flesh, to be tempted, to suffer and die, to save you from your sins. Jesus paid a far greater price than you will ever pay to gain Him. Jesus suffered far more than you can ever suffer. The Father placed the punishment for sins of all humanity for all time on Jesus. Jesus suffered separation from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit on the cross, so that you and I would never have to experience that separation. Jesus experienced hell so that you and I would never have to go to hell. Therefore, Jesus, only Jesus, has the unique right to say to us, give up everything and follow me. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. A rich young man came to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Jesus told the man this: if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. This was the young rich man's crisis of belief. Would he be in? Would he be all in for Jesus? Will he give up all for what is priceless or settle for what he has, that which moth and vermin will destroy? What will he do? Matthew tells us, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. The Apostle Paul, when he came to his crisis of belief, settled it in a much different fashion. And near the end of his life, he wrote these words: But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Jesus is unique because without Jesus, there is no saving gospel message. There is no seed to sow in the field. Without Jesus, there is no kingdom. For Jesus is the King of the kingdom. Without Jesus, there is no church to spread the kingdom. For it is the life of Jesus in his people that forms the wheat growing up among the tares. It is the church that is the light of the world. It is the life of Jesus in us through the power of the Holy Spirit working through his people that is the restraining force against evil in this world. What shall we do with Jesus? Will we consider all things a loss for the surpassing worth of gaining Christ and being found in him and thus finding ourselves in the kingdom of heaven? G. Jesus is uniquely priceless. Give up everything to have him. Is Jesus our uniquely priceless treasure? Will we give up everything to gain him? Is this the song of our heart? Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, friend most sure and true, long my heart was burning, faint, much, and yearning, thirsting, Lord, for you. Yours I am, O spotless Lamb. So will I let nothing hide you. Seek no joy beside you. Let your arms enfold me. Those who try to wound me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Fires may flash and thunders crash, yea, though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Hence, all worldly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure. Jesus is my choice. Hence, all empty glory. What to me is your story told with tempting voice? Pain or loss, shame or cross, shall not move me from my Savior, since He chose to love me. So how do we cultivate this sense and possession of Jesus as our most priceless treasure? We can practice giving everyone and everything to Jesus. The promise of our passage this morning is that our most valuable possession is a living relationship with Jesus. And in order to realize that promise, we must intend to abandon ourselves completely to Jesus to gain His kingdom. And I'm obviously going beyond just coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. By faith, you come to Christ and you come into the kingdom. But that's just stepping into the front door. There are, as Teresa of Avila would write, many rooms in the castle of the king. When we go into the front door of the castle, and then there's so much more to explore. And the way that we do that is to practice abandoning, surrendering, it's called many things, ourselves to God. It's just giving up ourselves, giving up the things that hold claim to us and surrendering them to Jesus, as we sang this morning. All to Jesus I surrender. Well, what is that all? Anything that is pulling me away from Jesus, I surrender it. So, the way that we move deeper into enjoying all the benefits of being a citizen of the kingdom is by practicing giving everyone and everything to Jesus. And some call this the spiritual practice of detachment. Some call it surrender. Some call it abandonment. Some call it the practice of benevolent detachment. It is grounded in the desire to nurture trust in the sovereign goodness of God alone. So we're going to practice the prayer of benevolent attachment to conclude today. So if you will, just let me guide you into this prayer. Would you close your eyes for a moment and just settle into feeling the presence of God here with us now. Take a few deep breaths and just let yourself relax. And as you sit in a more relaxed silence with your God, ask Him to show you the worries, the concerns, whether they be personal, whether they be family, whether they have to do with work or world issues, all those things that are weighing heavy on your heart and pulling on your life right now. Just ask the Lord to show those things to you. And as they come up into your mind and heart, be specific and name them in His presence. And in your heart, give them to Jesus, saying something like this. You can use your own words, but here's something to help. Lord Jesus, I place this or these things, and then just name them what they are, into your loving hands. I choose to release them to you, knowing you are good and always care for me. Now, ask God to show you the material things or your need for status or control or power that has too great a place in your life. Likewise, name them in His presence and say something of that same prayer. Lord Jesus, I place this or these things into your loving hands. I choose to release them to you, knowing you are good and will always care for me. And finally, ask God to show you the relationships that hold too great of sway in your life, either in the value that you place upon them or because of the wounds they inflict upon your soul. And now release them to the Lord, saying something like, Lord Jesus, I release these people and these relationships, and name them, be specific. I release them into your loving hands, knowing that you are good and that you will always care for me and that you love these people too. and care for these relationships as well. Lord, listen to your children praying. In your mercy, receive all we have entrusted into your care. Grant us that through your life in us, that we may experience the freedom of giving everyone and everything to you. Amen. The practice of giving everything and everyone to God is not a one and done. It's most beneficial when it's practiced daily. Generally, that means most of the time, but not all of the time, I begin and I end my day with a practice of this benevolent detachment. And one tool that I use to help me is the pause app, the 1 minute pause app. It has a 1 minute, a 3 minute, a 5 minute, and 10 minute pauses that help anyone, help me, to practice this benevolent detachment. And it's a great way to start the day. It's a great day, great way to end the day. And even if you only have 1 minute, He will tell you at the end, you've done so well. So you will get encouragement no matter what. So I just offer you that as a tool that might be helpful to apply what we've been learning and talking about today. Awesome.